The Count of Monte Cristo. From Hollywood, the Don Lee Network presents Carlton Young in another adventure in the exciting life of The Count of Monte Cristo. More than a century ago, King Louis Philippe of France was constantly on guard against the intrigues that threatened his country. From across the borders came spies who added coal to the fire of dissension that burned within the homeland. The king could trust few men, but he numbered among his confidants daring patriots whose keen mind and flashing sword never failed the cause of justice in the common citizen. This hero of many a twice-told legend was Edmond Dantès, the fabulous Count of Monte Cristo.
Lieutenant Forte, the quarterdeck, if you please. Three more capitals.
July of 1839. For officers and men of the French fleet, today is no more sultry and oppressive than for other visitors and citizens of the great seaport city of Marseille. To Captain Paul Juvenel, it seems considerably more unbearable, for he has orders that cancel his plan to make sail and escape to the cooling Mediterranean breezes. Juvenel stands flat-footed and frustrated on the quarterdeck of the frigate La Victoire.
Capitaine?
Lieutenant Forte, you may set a deck watch and pass the word that we've another 24 hours in this boiling basin.
We're not sailing, sir?
We shall wait the arrival of two passengers, Lieutenant. Presumably they will be aboard in time for the tide tomorrow. Prepared to sail with us to Africa.
Passengers for Gabon? Extraordinary, mon capitaine.
It is extraordinary, Lieutenant, that a man of war should carry passengers at all, to Africa or to any destination. Nevertheless, you will have quarters prepared for a certain René Michon and the famous Count of Monte Cristo.
Later in the day, the sun is promising to set. And a lighter from shore is riding the glassy surface of the harbor, bumping the hull of the La Victoire. Four oarsmen in the little boat, two passengers gazing upward at the frigate, as one of the oarsmen cups his hands to his mouth.
Ahoy the deck!
Ahoy the hull! Who are you?
Passengers and one front coming aboard. Throw us a line, will you, sailor?
Aye. Look alive.
All candle. Make a fast, mate. Aurelia, snag that ladder. Yes, Your Honor.
Do we board her now?
Yes, sir. Up the ladder.
Well, avast and well away, monsieur.
Let her fizzle, me hearty. I'm right behind you.
What did he say?
The anchor disappears, disturbs the water in there.
And by to make sail.
Oh, my goodness.
Are the topsails set?
Aye, sir.
What are they doing, Captain?
Keep a weather eye, Michon. We're getting underway.
Let's pull your mainsails and onward upon our troubles.
Good heavens, that noise.
They are filling with wind, ready.
It's like a thunderstorm.
There's going to be weather, Forte. Cover the perils. The ordinary
is
secure.
Aye, sir.
And
straight
across the
mast. Nothing different from our yards, is it not, Jenny?
Oh, monsieur, if all these men are going to do all this bustling all the time, I fear I shall become quite nervous before we ever reach dear old Africa.
So began the adventure of the Chosen of the Gods. The frigate La Victoire escaped the Mediterranean storm, scudded past Gibraltar and on into the open Atlantic, then turned southward and past Madeira and the Canary Islands, past Dakar and circled eastward along the African coast, crossed the equator and set her bow toward the Ogwe River in France's southernmost African province, Gabon.
If I may say so, monsieur.
Yes, René.
It appears very strange that France should choose a locale so remote for anything like a naval base.
I'm sure the choice was made for reasons which are valid, both strategically and politically, René.
Monsieur Lecomte is quite correct.
As you know, the commerce in slaves has grown to gross and malignant proportions during the past 2 years.
Oh, yes, I was aware of the evil of the slave trade.
Well, then, the African coast is long and the slave traders are numerous and clever. We of the French Navy have had no station at which to reprovision and repair our ships. It's been always necessary to return to France. Our potential patrol time is drastically lessened by frequent trips to France. And while we are not patrolling the coast, the slavers thrive and prosper.
Has anyone been able to estimate the extent of this traffic in humans, Mon Capitaine?
To estimate the number of people who have been stolen and sold, Your Excellency, is not possible. However, Capitaine Bouet Guillaume secured from the local chiefs the right for our navy to use two small areas on the northern bank of the Uguay River estuary for the establishment of a refitting station. It is a fortunately central location. I can promise that the volume of slave trade will begin to diminish sharply just as soon as...
Where away? Ah, yes. Her colors. Aye.
No flag?
No flag, monsieur. 10-1, she's a slave ship.
Monsieur Fauté.
Aye, sir.
Crack on all sail. Let us try how a French man of war will do with a bone in her teeth.
Aye, sir. All hands to work. All hands to work. Lay it off. Look to life. Up sail now. To punch the larboard.
Get for the mate in the jail, Fauté.
Aye, sir. Eight men on the turn! Hey, fight that the gun and keep them all rattled!
Any moment now, dawn should break.
And you expect to find that other ship again after the passage of an entire night, Captain?
Captain Juvenel, if you are still within sight of that vessel, you are indeed a remarkable seaman.
I am an officer in the French Navy, Monsieur Le Comte.
Listen, look here, Captain. For almost an hour before dark last night, you were well within firing range, that ship. You fired one shot across her bow, and she ignored it. Why did you not press an attack? Even mediocre gunnery should have sunk her.
I could not risk it, Michonne. Perhaps you noticed, Monsieur, that the vessel was riding very low in the water. She was riding low because...
Where
away?
3 points on the portbow!
Remarkable.
Is it the ship we sighted last night? The same vessel?
The same, Mon Capitaine!
Truly, Captain Juvenel, you are a seaman.
There she blows. Observe, Monsieur.
Ah, yes. Yes, I see.
She looks a little different to me this morning.
Monsieur Fauté, maneuver to eat the wind out of her now. I want to go aboard her.
I perceive we are too late, but I want to go aboard her all the same.
Prepare a boarding party!
As you see, Captain, my papers, they are in order.
Yes. I find nothing amiss in your clearances, and the log appears to be correct, Captain Gratz.
Captain Gratz, your records show that you delivered a mixed cargo from Hamburg to Cape Town.
Yes, so?
And your clearance from Cape Town gives your destination as New Orleans in America.
Yes, that is correct.
Further, you cleared from Cape Town with a manifest that missed no cargo whatsoever.
Yes, but... So?
Is it not unprofitable to travel so many miles without a cargo, Mr. Gratz?
Yes, especially since hardwood, spices, palm oil are begging for holds to transport them.
Captain Chauvenel, you have examined my papers, checked my log, and questioned my crew. I am the owner of this ship. I go where I please, with or without cargo, as I please. Now, if you will be good enough to return to your command, I would like very much get underway again.
Monsieur, why, I am
never... Rene.
Of course, Captain Gratz. I regret your delay and wish to thank you for your cooperation. A good voyage to you, Captain. Messieurs, let us return to La Victoire. My small boat is waiting.
Monsieur Capitaine, please
not simply impertinent, but was there not some legal risk involved in stopping that ship?
In a sense, there was, yes.
Well, I mean to say that the conduct of God, Sir Master, as well as the condition of the ship and her manifest, all were frightfully suspicious. But this we did not know until we went aboard her.
I knew one other thing, Michon, when I sighted her last night.
Oh, really?
What?
May I ask?
That she was carrying slaves, and that therefore she was subject to seizure. This was known as well to her captain, Grass.
Yes, but she had no slaves at all.
Not this morning.
Well, I mean, what about last night?
Do you recall, Michon, that when we sighted her this morning, you said she looked a little different to you?
Yes, she did somehow.
Shall I tell you how and why?
Please do.
Last night, she was riding very low in the water. This morning, she was riding very high. Last night, her hold was crammed with writhing, wretched human cargo. This morning, her hold was empty.
I see. Oh, good heavens.
Could we have caught the ship last night, we might have saved them.
We tried, Monsieur Lecomte.
Yes, I know.
Oh, why did you not fire a broadside into her yard, mon capitaine? You had her range.
Monsieur Michon, the effect of my broadside might have been as murderous to the slaves as it was effective against the ship. Had I brought her under my guns, however, Gratz would have blown her to bits, and her cargo with her before surrendering her to me and himself to life in prison.
You see, Rennie, we had our chance to stop her and could not do so. The human cargo, the evidence against her, went into the sea in the darkness. It's a most inhuman business. The one place it can be stopped is at its source.
It is a very most inhuman business.
Ahoy, the deck!
Oh. We've come alongside.
Throw us the line. The captain will come aboard.
Monsieur Forte.
Aye, sir.
You may put about and steer for the Ogooué River Naval Base. They'll be waiting in Gabon. We're overdue.
Captain Juvenal, for the most part, it was a pleasant voyage. I think your hospitality at sea has earned for you some explanation as to why you brought us here to Gabon, the naval base.
I must admit, Monsieur Lecomte, that I have wondered, but I've obeyed my orders and delivered you here without question.
His Majesty Louis-Philippe has requested that I determine what means may be used to stop this traffic in human lives before the slaves get to the sea.
But do you have proper gear, weapons? A guide?
I brought all the necessities and only this morning engaged a native, Ogana, to act as guide and interpreter.
But can this native be trusted? How do you...
He has lost his wife, son, and two brothers to the slavers.
Even so, monsieur, I beg you to reconsider.
As soon as the rain ceases, Rennie and I shall start up the Ogooué River with Nagana and seek out the answer to two questions. Who is the blackguard that controls this infamous trade? And where is the gathering place of the slaves?
Days we've been on this river. How much longer must we endure this heat and insects and yes, and those horrible crocodiles?
Patience, Rennie, patience. Not be long.
Oh, dear.
What are those? Something hit the canoe.
Juana, we stop. That dart from Juan Brogan.
No, let us get out of here as quickly.
We stop, Juana. Juan dart big poison.
Juan? Who is Juan, Nagana?
Oh, an upriver tribe. Bad, much bad. They're going to go to Pawan.
There, I see them. Oh, monsieur, have you ever seen more savage-looking humans in all your lives? Look, they're along the riverbank.
They are truly frightening, Rennie.
Quickly, Hal, pistol.
No, Rennie, no. One shot and we should be riddled with poison darts in a matter of seconds.
Primo! Oh, Kukume!
What did you say, Ogana?
He said, put down fire sticks.
Yes, well, that makes our guns? Oh, no, if we disarm
ourselves... Do as Ogana says, then.
But, sir, I'm not going to...
Ready.
Yes, monsieur.
Honorosis! Honorosis!
Come, Juana, come.
Monsieur.
Come, Rennie.
Kaloa.
Ani.
Kone Kuro. Oko. Jima.
Wana. Him say, come. He take you home. Take you home.
Monsieur, what do we do?
It appears we have no choice, then. We're gonna tell him that we are ready to go home with him. Better.
Oh, a little. Thank you, monsieur.
You should be able to rest here in Bacata's village. It's a little cooler in here.
Not cooler, monsieur. Just less hot.
Lenny McGonagall has been talking to Bacata. I think he's convinced the chief of the nature of our mission.
Yes?
Bacata and his men believed that we were slave traders. He thought we were joining those vultures who've been preying on the Powhatans and other tribes. McGonagall has arranged for me to meet with Bacata and his council. I shall explain to them just what we are trying to do, and I shall enlist their aid in furthering our mission here.
How, monsieur?
By asking him to guide us to the place where the slaves are assembled.
And then?
And then, if I'm persuasive enough, further prevail upon him to attack and destroy the slave operations headquarters.
It would appear that for a virtual prisoner, you're expecting a great deal.
I cannot settle for less. I must convince these people that I have a potent magic. Rennie, Penny, I think that you must be it.
Yes, well, I should be glad to do anything I...
Be what, monsieur?
My magic.
Oh, now, see here,
there's
I'm not...
There's a rather large tree, Penny, at the back of the outdoor arena where the meeting is to be held.
Yes, but
now, if you can find your way to a position behind that tree without being seen...
Oh, well, I'm sure I can, monsieur. But what then?
Simply dump the contents of one of our small containers of gunpowder into a loose pile on the ground beside the tree.
Gunpowder beside the tree, yes.
And when the powder goes up in smoke, step through the smoke and declare yourself the chosen of the gods.
Chosen of the gods? Through smoke? Oh, dear.
Gala, you had best go to Bacata and interpret for him what I am about to say. Give me that little powder flask.
Yes, Buana. Now I go.
Chief Bacata and people of Powhatan. My chief, Faraway, has sent me to rid your land of the human jackals who capture and sell your people into slavery. I brought with me big magic. Magic powerful enough to rid you of the evil men who prey upon you. My chief, brother of the fire god, sends his magic in these sacred containers. And see, I remove the seal from the sacred container. That. I walk slowly in the sacred pattern of the fire god. As I trace the sacred, mystic, symbolic sign of the fire god, I scatter the magic powder of the fire god's brother. By this magic powder, the fire god will show you a leader who will lead you into battle and overcome and destroy those who prey upon you.
Are you there?
The fire god commands that on this very spot there will appear to you your leader if you but follow him. I place the magic containers here, then walk to the sacred fire. There I will see the burning brand, and the fire god himself will reveal his chosen to lead you. I cast the burning brand on the ground. O fire god, seek out the chosen leader of the Powhatan. O Powhatan, I come as the chosen of the gods. Follow me and I shall lead you to victory and destroy those
evil men who prey upon you.
If rousing the powers to a fever pitch is a sign of success, we are more than successful, Rennie. The Gunner, what are they doing now?
Oh, Juan.
The Gunner.
Make war dance for chosen of God.
Chosen of God, eh? never having encountered one of such exalted position, I'm at a loss just how to address you, Rennie.
Hmm?
Your Eminence? No. Your Serene Highness? No.
Something with the word celestial, perhaps.
Rennie, you were magnificent. What a performance.
Oh, it was a triumphant entrance, was it not? It could not have been anything else, monsieur, though, after your wondrous separation.
It was really very simple, Rennie. I merely opened the little powder flask I carried and wandered through the crowd, making a trail of powder from a point near the fire to the pile of powder you had deposited by your tree.
Then you tossed the burning stick across your powder trail, the fire guard did the rest of it, eh?
Exactly.
Yes, well, from the looks of things out there, I have a goodly number of quite enthusiastic followers.
And there are only two things left for you to do.
Oh, well, what are they, monsieur?
Prevail upon the natives to guide us to the place where the slave traders make headquarters in these jungles.
I shall accomplish that forthwith. What else must I do?
Prepare a native fighting force and lead the attack against the slavers.
Yes, well, I... An attack? Lead? Attack. Oh, but, monsieur, that stockade, look at it. It is formidable.
The slavers suspect no uprising, Rennie. You have the element of surprise as well as thousands of armed and vengeful natives eager to strike a blow against their most hated enemy.
Isn't it remarkable how they can conceal themselves? I see the two, Nagona and Bakasa, yet I know the jungle is teeming with those who await the signal for attack.
If this attack is successful, it will impair the slave trade for some time to come, Rennie.
Well, then why must we continue to wait, monsieur? My men have been on the line for more than an hour.
Just another moment, I think, Rennie. Yes. Yes, Rennie, the time is now.
In this rain?
Yes.
Monsieur, it has started to rain.
Of course. Are you ready to attack?
Yes, but we
can't. Very well, O chosen of the gods. Yes. Give the signal. Mount the attack at once, and victory shall be yours.
Oh, very well, but I must say, I don't see why we end this wreck. Oh, very well. Nagona?
Yes, Buono.
We attack!
Yes, Buono.
I shall pursue the three who run towards the gate.
One running into that hut.
After him, Rennie.
Please be careful, monsieur.
Very well, you stand still right where you are.
Oh, back, fool, that door.
You!
Back, fool, that door, fool. I shall cut you into 6 pieces.
Grass. Captain Grass.
So we meet again.
Back, fool, that door, fool.
Put down that silly sword, you heathen slaver. My pistol is loaded and cocked, and the ball is just yearning for a resting place in your wretched heart. Put down your sword and put up your hands. Your slaving days are ended. Come with me.
Yes, Rennie, you did excellently well. And fortunately, through your bravery, all 4 leaders of this slaving ring will come before justice.
No, monsieur, I captured only Captain Graff. You brought back 3 of them all by yourself. You were much more magnificent than I.
His Majesty will be, indeed all of France will be eternally grateful to you both. Monsieur Michonne, your attack upon the slaving compound must have been a masterpiece of strategy.
Oh, I assure you, Captain Juvenal, the genius behind the attack belongs to the Count of Monte Cristo.
Nonsense, Rennie. You planned it in every detail, and entirely without my assistance until the last moment. The natives would have had it no other way.
Oh, but it was you, Monsieur, you who decided so brilliantly upon the proper moment to launch the attack.
Obviously, you admire each other immensely.
Well, do you know what he did, mon capitaine? I would have attacked at dawn, but Monsieur Le Comte insisted upon waiting until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I could not think why.
But of course. The daily rainstorm commences at 4 o'clock. The natives attacked with spears and swords. The slavers tried to defend with shot and shell, but in the confusion of surprise, they permitted the rain to get their powder wet.
The rain wet their powder, Monsieur, and as a result, they were scarcely able to fire a shot in defense of their evil practices. Yes. How did you know?
Very clever strategy, Monsieur Michon.
Yes. Well, I must admit, I never thought of it. Monsieur Le Comte is responsible.
Oh, Rennie, please, do not let the one thought I did contribute to the cause of your dejection. You were magnificent throughout the battle, particularly in the capture of Captain Gott.
Well, that was simple. I had a loaded pistol. He had only a sword.
Yes, but, monsieur...
Rene, show Captain Juvenal what an excellent marksman you are.
Hmm?
Aim your pistol at that chink in yonder wall. You see it?
Oh, yes. That stone.
Fire at the stone. Knock it out of the chink.
Is he that accomplished with the pistol, truly?
Oh, watch him.
My word, the thing missed fire.
Do not trouble yourself to fire again, Rennie. I just remembered. I used all of our powder, creating the magic that made you the chosen of the gods.
You mean my pistol is empty of powder?
It is. It must have been that way all through the battle. It must have been empty when you captured Captain Gratz.
Well, of course I...
Captain Juvenal, Rene has fainted.
Yes, Your Excellency.
If you'll help me, I think we can carry him aboard. I know you're ready to weigh anchor and put to sea with your captains.
Glad to be headed back for France, Your Excellency.
Glad to see the last of this unpleasant business, Captain Juvenal. Glad to know that we have the 4 kingpins of the slave trade in irons in the hold. I adore the sight of tyranny held up naked for the world to ridicule. Captain Gratz and his friends and all men who practice oppression, they disgrace humanity, Captain Juvenal. All we can hope to do is to pick them off one by one. Someday, if we keep to the task, we shall have them all.
I pray with you for that day, monsieur.
Let go, you men, shall and mizzen aloft. Ahoy, the whale of the hill, put on a so forward. Steady as it goes now, mate. Ahoy, the yard. Your stainsail's going this way. Look alive up there. Look alive.
And so ends tonight's adventure with the Count of Monte Cristo and the Chosen of the God. The Count of Monte Cristo, starring Carlton Young in the title role with Parley Bear as René Michon, is produced and directed by William Gordon, with music by George Wright. Also in our cast tonight were Byron Kane, Vic Rodman, Jim Messer, John Lark, Bill Klein, Leroy Leonard, Marvin Bryan, and Jack Carroll. And now this is Larry Chatterton bidding you good night. Until next week, same time, same station. when once again you are invited to enjoy another thrilling adventure with Alexander Dumas' fabulous Count of Monte Cristo. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.